Be going through some of the word this morning. And as I said last night, I'm going to repeat it again as we get into our time of the message, that it's very significant, Rosh Hashanah, for many reasons. We've been going through the month of Elul, the last month, reflecting, repenting, preparing our hearts to come here to the 10 days of awe, and here we are at Rosh Hashanah. But the other thing that I wanted to mention was we have a very special significance with Rosh Hashanah here at Kol Mashiach because it was on Rosh Hashanah in 1989 that Kol Mashiach started, that our congregation began. So this is like birthday time for us, or anniversary time, 35 years if you can believe it. This is 35 years as a synagogue going into our 36th year, and we thank God for being here in the Space Coast of East Central Florida, where we can serve the Lord together. And I wanted to talk about Rosh Hashanah this morning and some of the major themes of the holiday. We have a lot of fall holidays all together. They all sort of run together. Sometimes it's like, well, wait a minute, do we do that for Yom Kippur? Do we do that for Rosh Hashanah? But there's some major themes of Rosh Hashanah. And one of the big ones is the kingship of God. You've seen it today in all of the liturgy. You know, the Lord is King, and HaMelech, and all of these pieces of liturgy and themes about God being our King, and God is our King. We read about it throughout all the liturgy. And we chant things like, as I said, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch, Leolam Vaed. The kingship of God is this whole idea that God is sovereign over us, that God rules over us. He is our great King. He is our ruler and decision maker. This should always be where we start, and this is the first major theme of Rosh Hashanah, with God over us and ruling over us. And what I want to do is today I want to talk about, going a little deeper, one of the pieces of liturgy that we did here with responsive reading, specifically for Rosh Hashanah. I wanted to kind of go through it because I think it tells us about the themes of Rosh Hashanah and who really God is, the different aspects of God in this responsive reading. So the first thing, turn with me to Psalm 22, verse 28. We'll have some Bible reading today as we go through. When we think of God as a king, we read things like Psalm 22, 28, where it says, "For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Yes, it's true, there are kingdoms in the world and has been since the beginning of history. And we know that there have been kings that have risen and fallen all over. There's kings today. A lot of times we still have kings in certain countries, maybe in the Middle East, in the Far East. Here in America, we have a president, you know, we have other leaders. In other Western countries, they have prime ministers and presidents. But a king is even bigger than that. The king rules over his kingdom. But God is the greater king, and God rules over the whole world. He rules over all of the nations. He's depicted time and again throughout. If you read many verses in the Bible, God is depicted as a great king, a ruler over Israel, and a ruler over the entire world. When we think of a king, we think of somebody that we bow down to, right? Because when you go see a king, especially in the old days, you would go in and that king had absolute power. So if the king was happy with you, everything was great in your life. If the king was not happy with you, you better watch out, right? So you would approach the king with reverence and awe. Much like when we say the Amidah during the weekdays and during Shabbat, you take the three steps back, you take the three steps forward. There's all this bowing going on. What's that all about? It's because God is our great king. And it's not like we don't want to upset God, but we revere God because he is not only our king, he's the king over the entire world, the heavens and the earth. We think of a king, though, as somebody to fear, who holds absolute power in his hands. And God is that, right? He can start our life and end our life with the snap of his fingers, with a breath of, you know, any word that he says. He spoke the world into existence. So we think about it like that. But this piece of liturgy is very interesting, this responsive reading, because even though God is consistently in Scripture referred to as a king, he's actually portrayed as much more than just that king. We read in our responsive reading, and we're not going to put it on the screens, but I'll kind of go through it with you if you remember it from today. We read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Today, the king's glory is stretched out in his compassion. So that's very interesting because we think of a king as an absolute ruler, don't want to upset the king. But God is a king whose glory is stretched out to us in his compassion. Compassion or kindness or mercy. Compassion is defined as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. So when we think of God as the God of all compassion, rachamum, you know, we think of God as someone who's looking down at us and who has deep sympathy and sorrow for us, for what we're going through, accompanied by this strong desire that God has to alleviate our suffering. That's what we read, and that's who God is. And we thank God for that, right? At this time of year, we're telling God all the things that we did wrong. We're coming before the king who could snap his fingers and end our life by telling him all the ways that we messed up and didn't follow him as king. But we have a king who is full of compassion, who understands. Psalm 103, verse 8. Let's go there. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the tetragrammaton, right? The unpronounceable name of God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And as I said, the Hebrew word for merciful is rachum, means compassionate. God is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in chesed, abounding in steadfast love. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, and I want you to go to Exodus 34. This is such a profound scripture that we're going to read, these two verses. In the book of Exodus, we see a wonderful example of God's compassion. This is a very noteworthy passage. It is in, if you still have them, and if you're going through them, I know we ran out, but they're on the website too. And where is mine here? I can't find it now, of course. Here it is. 40 days of prayer and repentance. We had a couple of scriptures in here. One was Psalm 27, which we're going to recite at the end of this service. The other one is Exodus 34, 6 through 7. What is so significant about this is that this is what's referred to as the 13 attributes of mercy within Judaism. And also, where this falls in the Bible. Exodus 34 happens right after Exodus 33, which happens right after Exodus 32. And Exodus 32 is the story of the golden calf. This is where we were given the covenant with God, and we terribly broke that covenant, fell into idolatry. And yet, God, who could snap his fingers and end the nation of Israel, or us today if he wanted to, is full of compassion, and he says this, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Moses, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What you have in Exodus 6 and some of 7 is 13 different ways about how God is a God of compassion. About God is a great and mighty king who loves us in compassion. He is things like merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And the cool part, like I said, is that happens at one of the lowest points in Israel's history as far as idolatry and not following God. And yet God, in his great mercy, still turns to us and still wants a relationship with us. This should be such a powerful message for us as we've been pouring out our hearts to God about all the ways that we have turned away from God all year. He is that God of compassion for us. Okay, we'll continue with the themes of Rosh Hashanah. Continuing in that responsive reading for Rosh Hashanah. The king examines every thought, both small and great. We can stop right there for a minute. Major theme of Rosh Hashanah is zikronot, which means remembrances. The idea here is that God knows all, remembers all, and you know what? That can seem a bit scary. God remembers everything you did when you were a young person. He remembers everything you did last week. He remembers everything you did this morning before you got here. And that could be a little scary, right? Well, the idea is not really that. It's not to freak us out or give us anxiety that God remembers everything that we did. Because we read a little bit later in the responsive reading, right after that, the king will always recall his covenant in remembrance for good. No matter how bad we've been all year, if that heart is right and we turn in repentance, the king will always recall his covenant in remembrance for good. So many people forget this and they mess up, they sin, and they think, God is done with me. I've done too much. I've behaved too wickedly. Why would God even want me as his child anymore? You know, we say these things, we feel these things, and we think these things as this happens. And those times, we need to remember things like this. Our king will always recall his covenant in remembrance for good. No matter how far Israel strayed from God, he always remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even today, no matter where they are scattered in the world, here we are in the diaspora. Here, there's so much going on in the world against the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. There's things going on in Eretz Israel. We have to remember that God is not done with the Jewish people. They are still the chosen people and always will be God's chosen people. And anything against that is replacement theology and is biblically false. Because God is our king who recalls his covenant with his people Israel in remembrance for good. Now, in the Amidah, which we said today, the very first prayer, the Avot, which means fathers, we add a line in there. If you notice, we added some lines in the liturgy. We add a line in there for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the line is this: remember us for life, O King, who takes delight in life. Inscribe us in the book of life for your sake, O God of life. Now, as messianic believers in the Lord, Jew and Gentile, that have come to know Yeshua as Mashiach, have come to understand that, we say, we add, remember us to life in Yeshua, O King. And we have to remember Yeshua front and center in our life, not only today, but every day. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 talks about this. And it says in verse 15 and 16, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these I may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This is God speaking to Israel. What a beautiful thing. That's the character of our God, a king who could snap his fingers and we're gone. A king that is full of compassion, a king that never forgets his covenant with Israel. So that's the God we serve. So whether we're Jewish or non-Jewish in the world, we can take heart and know that is the kind of God who is our God, who is our king. He is a compassionate and loving God who remembers, Zichrono. Okay, now there's one other aspect of God as our king that I want to go through back to our responsive reading. And it says this, the king who fashions each heart as one, will pardon. There's that word there, pardon. Pardon means a release from the penalty of an offense, a remission of penalty, as if by a governor, or in other words, to forgive. You and I are all guilty of crimes this past year, and it's not fun to remember it all. We don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to talk about our stuff. We just want to say, okay, that was in the past. I'm making a new change. It's a new year. But we have to remember them, and we're kind of forced to remember them at this time of Rosh Hashanah. But we have to always also remember that God is a God who pardons, that God is a God who forgives. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says this, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Teshuvah is our role. Turn back to God. God's role is he will abundantly pardon us. He will forgive us. And of course, as followers of Yeshua, we have been pardoned for our sins. We know that Yeshua died for our sins, took on our sins for us, and there is redemption. There is redemption for that. One more scripture today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Yeshua, we have, or in God, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I think we spend so much time talking about the bad things. I think we need to soak that in a little bit today as we're here for Rosh Hashanah, remembering God is a God who forgives. God is a God who pardons. God is a God who redeems us. He's so much more than a stereotypical king. So let's crown him as king today, right? He is our king. He is our ruler. But he's also a king, we have to remember this, full of compassion, remembering us, never forgetting us, pardoning our sins, and redeeming us. And this is truly good news for us today on Rosh Hashanah and every day. Amen.